Oh, God's good, ain't he? Just fun. Just gets to be fun when you let it be fun. You know. Well, y'all turn back to Ephesians chapter 1. And, this week, it seems like it was a really busy week. We've been a lot of miles, probably not as many as Corey and Seth and Jamie, but we got to drive a lot of miles this week. And so I got to go in and get started early, Renee, in the week, trying to make sure I had things in order for this morning. And then, like, we run from Thursday till last night. And so I went over things this morning. And, man, when they sing the first song, it's about inheritance. And the title of the message is Don't Waste Your Inheritance. And so when we read this in just a minute, you're going to think, what's that kind of got to do with inheritance? But just it takes us around, and you know, I don't know how this fits, and I don't know why God had me share this. But Howdy, we're on the way to Aropen yesterday in Giddings. We took Audie to Aropen yesterday, Betsy, and man, we turned on the podcast of Coleman Proctor. And if y'all haven't listened to Coleman's podcast, you really need to listen to it. You know, and for those of y'all that know Coleman, he comes to the rodeo here, and he's a great ambassador for rodeo. But he just shared, there were some things on that podcast that just really grabbed me, you know. He said, he tells his daughters, he told us the age of all them girls, and they're pretty young. And he said, I tell them all the time, quit looking for the opportunity for things to go wrong and start looking for the opportunity for things to go right. That isn't exactly the way he said it, but that's the gist of it. You know, and it's amazing how much in the body of Christ there's still an expectancy of things going to hell in a handbasket. People look at a lot of things that way. Well, if it can go wrong today, it's going to go wrong. Well, according to our inheritance, we're above that. But we got to believe that we're above it. We've got to. I'm really trying to let the Lord lead this, okay? The very thing I have for closing, I keep feeling like I'm supposed to share right now. That doesn't mean we're going to leave after I share that. I think I'm going to read it, and then we're going to go back. So I'm going to give you the scripture that it's in. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Hold your place in Ephesians, because we're going to go back there. But I really think the Lord would have us look at this right quick. Mark chapter 5, and I'm going to read verses 25 through 34. Now, a certain woman, we all know this, okay, had a flow of blood for 12 years. And had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now, go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And before I read that, we're going to read a pretty good piece of it. This is what the Lord, and this isn't something that, I actually heard this through another minister at one time, but God really brought this to me yesterday. Or the other day when I'm reading this. And is it a real pain, Kathy, if I walk around a little bit? Got to ask my wife on the camera, so I'm trying to keep peace. I'm gonna pick somebody out. You know, we need, Andy will be good since he's a visitor and he'll be gone and it won't matter. God said, you quit looking at ourselves as the woman with the issue of blood and look at yourself as the person with the garment. We're wearing the garment. Our inheritance through the blood of Jesus is God's given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness. And with that, he equipped us. He said, go, you know, I'm just going with what God's saying to go with, okay? He said, you go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples of all men. I feel this urgency in myself, is that God's saying, I want you to be aware of your inheritance. You're kings and priests. Yes. You're not here to be the victim, you're the victor. We are the victors, we're not the victims. And out amongst us every day are the victims in our area of influence that God has placed each and every one of us in. And he's saying, it's time to quit being so caught up in all the trivial things that have no eternal consequences in our lives. And we get caught up in them and they cause us to have, I'm trying to be real careful, John, with how I say this, but a really poor attitude. And if he was just out in a Brandon pen, you'd say it in a different manner. But it's a really poor attitude because we let the enemy, Jesus said, give no place to Satan. And God's just really been dealing with me on my personal deals in this. You know, I got to tell Kathy this morning, she said, what's it about? And I told her, I said, but I'm preaching to myself. Man, I'm going to tell you what, life's life. It's some days is more fun than others. But God said, get your eyes on the eternal things. The thing, you know, he said, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but in heaven. Because that's where we spend eternity. That's where we need our treasure to be. We are the light that's on the hill. We are to get our eyes off of those things that they shouldn't make any difference, but we get so caught up in them. You know, like driving through Georgetown. I did really good yesterday. It was not easy. I don't know how y'all do it that live right here like this. You know, I mean, I don't meet three cars all day where I live. But God's saying, those things have no eternal consequence. We need to get our eyes off of the things in our life that we think's being stolen from us. And he said, I want you to be aware of your surroundings. I want you to be aware. He's really opened my eyes to a lot of this because of Audie. I'm not going to go into all of Audie's story, but it's a young lady that showed up at our house a few weeks ago to rope with us just the things that it's you know, she thinks we're being a blessing to her. And she's opening through her, God's opening our eyes to things, maybe Cassie's eyes were already open, but mine weren't. But the things, it's like, get your eyes, you have an area of influence and you have talents and abilities. Your welding gloves are anointed. You need to understand that you're wearing a robe where you are every day, the robe of righteousness that sets the captives free. Amen. I don't know what everybody in here does, what we say, quote, for a living. We give for a living. What we do is just what we do. It's our area of influence. It's the area that God's placed each and every one of us in so that we can... go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples of all men. And so I don't care where we are. there at the, where you are now, I'm going to bet you have lots of opportunities. And some days you're like, Lord, a hammer would be better than this Bible because these guys are hard-headed. But God said, I want you to look through my eyes. I want you to see things the way I'm seeing those people. And, you know, it's so, I don't know the right word for it. You can say it's sad, but to have grown up in the generation that I got to grow up in and to look back on how things worked, you know, somebody told you they'd do something, they'd do it. And that might be a little sketchy today. But just, I read a deal the other day. I don't remember where I read it, but a lady was sharing about her growing up in the time that we grew up in. How many in here remember the blue law? You know, they didn't do anything on Sunday. There wasn't nothing open on Sunday. They sure wasn't playing soccer down the soccer field. We wasn't even having rodeos on Sunday. Well, wouldn't that be something for us, you know? Things shut down in this nation on Sunday. It was a day of rest and worship. And we respected it. And then we wonder today, I'm not going against all the, you know, I'm just saying. Things were different. And there was a bigger reverence for God when we had perimeters that we stayed in according to the Word. This is none of my messes. God wants us to get serious about being aware of our surroundings. The people, you know, I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the people. God's saying, when you go where I've placed you, man, and I'll tell you what, it's I love where God's placed me. You know, I do. I've so got to enjoy the things in my life. You know, I ranch and shoe horses, and I've been shoeing my own horses again, Betsy. And that's after, I won't go into all that, but I didn't shoe anything for 2 years, and it don't hurt, and so it's really good. But y'all ever get to Ephesians? I think we're going to go there. God wants, I said, Coleman, what he said, what brought me to that was he said, I think it was maybe Jake Long or any, they were talking about preparation. And he said, used to, I'm just thankful I get to do it. He said, there wasn't a whole lot of preparation. These aren't exact words, but he said, now I look and see what I prepare for the end I want. I'm looking to see where do I want to be, and am I going to be ready when I get there? We need to be preparing. I'm seeing, like, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I want to be prepared for I want to prepare now for the reward that I want then. Y'all understand? Did we grasp that? Coleman was getting ready for the national finals, and we're starting in March by buying 40 head of fresh roping steers so we can practice and be ready. And this was just this past spring, and he's talking about it, and he said, and when he told his wife that he just wrote a $92,000 check for 40 head of steers. Guys, our cattle prices are really high. But he's, the key here is, he said, I'm trying to be ready for what's at the end here. I want to be ready so when I get to where I'm, the things I'm planning for, the things we're working towards, the things we're doing, I want to be ready. You know, I think we've had several years of preparation. We may not get to Ephesians. We have had several years of preparation in the body of Christ for this end time harvest that is fixed, that is taking place, it started. But if we stay so caught up on all those little trivial things that don't make any difference, not to say we're still going to do the things we enjoy. That's our avenue of ministry, the things we enjoy doing. That's our area of influence, the things we enjoy doing. That's why we're gifted and talented in those areas. But when they become God, then we're looking at how to keep them going instead of just, God will keep them going. He said, I'll keep you going. It's your area of influence. This is where you have your authority. And Satan has no right to come into that area of influence. But it ought to be seen through us that, wait a minute, part of my inheritance as a king and a priest is he's given me the power to bind and loose, to stop those things that are not supposed to be there, to take authority over them. And we got people in our lives every day that have been attacked. And most of them don't even know it. They just think that's life is normal. And a lot of churches accepted the same thing. That's not life is normal. We are above, he said, supernaturally above all we can ask or think. He's given us eyes to see. He's given us ears to hear. But you know, we tend to put on real dark glasses and plug our ears with cotton. Or junk. And God's saying, no, get your eyes off that. I have anointed and appointed. You are a part of a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are my own. We are God's own special people. This excites me. At the same time, it's a bigger responsibility because we've been so caught up in just getting our own needs met, getting our own bodies healed, getting our own kids set free, that we don't even see what's going on around us a lot of times. And I believe with all my heart, all the years that we've gotten to do things and be a part of through the youth deals and things we got to do, that's why my kids love and serve the Lord today. Because we did what God told us to do. Our kids were a part of it. You know, we got to remember, God, the first thing God ordained was the family. The church ain't before the family. Family's first. God's first, family, then the church, then our jobs. And if we're operating and functioning our area of influence the way God intends us to, then we can count on Him. You know, I'm trying to think of a good analogy, Roger. But you know, well, the military. How about this? No enlisted man, where's that scripture? No enlisted man entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please the one who has enlisted him. Now, you can Google that. I don't know right where it's at. Remember right now the exact chapter and verse. So if you're in the Army, military, Marines, Navy, if you're in the Navy, you don't got to supply your own boat. They brought one for you. If you're in the Air Force, you don't got to bring your own airplane. They got one for you. And they got all the tools that go along with it to keep it functioning. We are in the body of Christ, enlisted in the army of God, and He has given us everything that pertains unto life and godliness and all the things we need to get the job done. Isn't that cool? I mean, He's given it to us. He said, here, I furnished you. Run with it. You know, get excited about it. And then some little something happens, and listen, I'm preaching to me, okay, please. You get some little distraction like driving through Georgetown. And thinking, God, those people. So I also tell Cassidy a lot of times, y'all, that God, the Bible, the Word says, give Satan no place. So I'm like, okay, I'm not going to Georgetown. Because if I go there, I give him place. That's not being a very good overcomer. But, you know, some days it's better off to stay away. You know, and listen, I know God sees where we are there. You know, and things, especially Andy, y'all got to feel it. You know, y'all get tired, you get wore out. All the places you're going, all the things that y'all got going. And some days you want to just stop and sit down. And You know, that's when the supernatural strengthens, and if we have to be there, or else God's going to provide a way to get that rest. But we start recognizing those things, you know. I mean, like, how do you mention one time, you know, I don't remember, it's been a while back, but you were talking about when you come in the evening, it's really hard to read and study after you've worked all day. And I, the same thing. I mean, like, focusing at that time of day on trying to get a message ready, forget it. I'm an early morning, get her done that time of day deal, you know. But the Lord will remind us, you know, I've gotten to the point where I make no important decisions in my life when I am tired and stressed. It's like not a good time to make that decision because it will be very impulsive. And that's when God's got, you know, he said, I really believe God even fixes our mistakes. But I get tired of him having to fix some of them, because sometimes it takes longer than what you want because it was a big mistake. And so, you know, I don't know. It may be, I don't think this is sacrilegious, but I just think God laughs with us. He's willing to laugh with us. He's willing to say, son, why did you do that? He knows. But it's like, why'd you go there? Why'd you do that? You know, it's taken me a long time to realize God's not mad at us over the mistakes and stupid things we do. He's not mad at us. The devil wants us to think that God's mad at you. You messed up. And you just, well, forget it. Not so. God's not mad. He said, do you realize when you do those things, all you're doing is just stepping out from under my covering? You're taking away my chance to move on your behalf. And the enemy just wants us to think, well, God's mad, and because you were dumb enough to do that, don't think he's going to bless you over here and fix it. Not so. As dads, you know that you're going to fix it. Even though it costs you money. And your kids, you have them forever. Okay? I don't care if they're 40 or 50, they're still our kids. And for some reason, we still bail them out. And God said, I ain't never quit bailing you out. And you made a whole lot more than they have. No, we got to be confident of who we are in Christ, that we have an inheritance. We sang about it the very first song. We're kings and priests. Now we're going to go to Ephesians. I want to read this, okay? Ephesians, I want to read Ephesians chapter 1 through 2:10, okay? Just, you know, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. There's not anything, not my words, but the Word of God, what He says right here is, let it penetrate us this morning. Starting verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the beloved, in him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory. Verse 15. Therefore, also, after I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks to you for making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in us, the saints, what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. How He put all things under the feet of Jesus, gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature of wrath, children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace we've been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace we've been saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that we should walk in. There's our inheritance. Much more to it. But to see, I'm going to high point a few things. And I think it's too cool. This is the way God does things, you know. But I want to start, let's see, where is it? Go back now to chapter 1 and verse 3. Blessed. First word that He told me to highlight. Blessed. With every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We got to remember, we're spirits, okay? Made in the image of God. We're spirits living in a body. We have a soul, which is our heart, our mind. We have a soul, which is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, man, I'm going to tell you what. When you're talking about the lust of the flesh, that covers a really broad spectrum of things. You know, don't just get to thinking, you know, sexual. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's financial. It's every area of life. You know, we get to things that... It draws us off. But we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, so that we don't have to do that. That we can bring every thought into okay, Corey, I don't know when he shared this, you know, but he talks about laying down at night to sleep and just being able to shut things off and go to sleep. How many of y'all can do that just real easily? You know? I mean, just boom, you just shut it off and go to sleep. And other times, you know, others of you lay down there, I'm thinking there's more of you in this boat right here. You lay down at night, and about the time your head hits the pillow, all these things start going through your mind. What are you going to do tomorrow? Should I do this? Should I do that? How do I do this tomorrow? You know, and so we spiritualize it, and we say, well, okay, so God's helping me lay out a strategy for tomorrow. Not so, it's time to go to sleep. And I've dealt with that for a long time. Lord, I mean, it's just like crazy. You know, you lay down there and all these things. And it's like, please. I said, God, can we shut the computer off? What do we do? How do we do this? And I told Kathy, she said, did you sleep last night? I said, I've been sleeping good the last several nights. Because I've been asking God, I got to shut things off. I mean, when you lay there and you twist and turn and you move the pillow trying to get it cold again. And you're doing all those things. And he said, I want you to just think about, take not that thought. I'm like, okay. And I did, Beth. And the first night, those things would start to come, and I'm like, mine, we take not that thought. I don't know, like last night, I know I was tired, but I laid down. It's usually to me, it's worse when I'm the tiredest because you've been running and it's just trying to get things shut down. And I just said, take not that thought and the thing, I know it's time to get up. And just praise God. I mean, God gets the glory. The Word of God is living and powerful. So if it'll work for sleep, it'll work for a whole lot more. We got to become better applicators of the Word of God. I mean, doers, applicators, whatever you want to call it. We got to get more dependent on the Word of God. And not our own, you know, it'll control the mind, the will, and the emotions. You know, it'll let you drive through Georgetown without a fit of carnality. Now, not to say you might be a little tense by the time you get to the other side of it. And Coleman, he shared a really good thing too there. He said, you know, where I'm, and so we need to think about this. He said, I'm an ambassador in that arena. Wasn't the word he used, they called it something else, but this is what we are. We're ambassadors for Christ. He said, I'm an ambassador in that arena. So he said, you know, Ty and Joe were and Cole were asking him about, you know, that 10th round at the NFR last year. And he said, you know, I want to tell you what. He said, you know, you walk out of that deal. And, you know, he missed a steer for a world's championship buckle and a team roping in the world all around. Something he said, you know, you've worked for that all your life. And he said, but when you walk in that, he said, you know, the next day, he said, my little girls are still my little girls. We got things to do. And he went on and shared all the things that, you know what, life's still going on, what he learned from it. But he said, I'm an ambassador in that arena. And he said, nobody should ever see my frustration. And it's the same way with us. You know, I think Clay O'Brien Cooper is probably the best at never showing any emotion. Him and Caleb Spitt, to me, two of the best guys in the rodeo world, that just, you don't see them sweat. It didn't matter if we was won or lost, didn't matter what the circumstances. It just, there's no emotion. That takes a bunch. But Coleman said, you know, we're ambassadors. And he said, now I may walk out behind that barn where nobody sees me, and I say, man, me a big fit, rock throwing fit. But he said, in front of anybody, where anybody's going to see me, he said, no. God doesn't allow us to do that. We need to learn that we're ambassadors for Christ, and we need to be aware of our surroundings. Because we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. And we have, no matter how bad they may have frustrated us, we probably have what they need. Not through us. God has it for them through us. Realize that it's not us, it's them. Okay? I'll try to move on here. Verse 4 there says, just as He has chose us in Him before the foundation of the world. We've been chosen. We're chosen by God. We're not just here by accident. We've been chosen by God to fill a spot. Verse 7 says, we've been redeemed and forgiven. And in verse 8, which He made, let's read verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, which He made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Praise God for His mercy and His grace. His mercies are new every day. And because of His mercies, we have His grace. And He said, He made us to abound in that. And no matter how bad we messed up, and the enemy's telling us, and God's saying, just get back over here. You know, it's kind of like, we all been in them situations, you know. And maybe growing up, you know, some guys just, you know, telling you how sorry you are, and just, you know, and mom, dad said, just get back over here and be who God called you to be. You know, we need to realize that who we are in Christ, okay? I mean, we got a whole lot of things in this, but we're not going to get to all of them. But verse 7 was redeemed, forgiven. In verse 11, in Him we have obtained this inheritance. We're co-heirs with Jesus. Therefore, we have at our disposal the same tools. I'm going to say tools for lack of a better word. Jesus had to make known the mystery of the gospel that leads people to repentance. And for us, the blessing and rewards that come from following Christ, being doers of the word. That's pretty cool. We have the same inheritance that Jesus, through Jesus, because of his death, life, death, burial, and resurrection, we have inherited those spiritual attributes, those qualities, that authority. He said, I've given you authority now to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We don't got to give in to it. We don't got to yield to sleepless nights. We can just speak the word and say, mine? Mm-mm. I take not that thought. And you know, I've tried other things before, but it's just don't think about it. Of course, I'm able to turn it off and not think about it. And there's a scripture for every area of our life. Whatever we're dealing with, it's all here in the Word. God loves us so much, He gave us His only begotten Son. Verse 15 through 23. God has and continues, as we seek Him, to give unto us a spirit of wisdom. He continues to open the eyes of our understanding so that we may know what is the hope of the calling of Christ and what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in us, the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Now, there's something else I wanted to point out right there. Oh, I like verse 22. And God put all things under the feet of Jesus and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. God put all things under the feet of Jesus. Okay, think about this for a minute. We're His hands and His feet. He's put it all under our feet. Come on. We got to see ourselves like that. God's put it under our feet. No, that's not no authority in my family, in my life, in my finances, in my health. And I got to continue to stand. I got to continue to walk it out. I got to believe. I got to be, as in Romans chapter 4, as Abraham was, verse 20, be fully persuaded. And as we begin to do that, you know, God's given us everything that pertains in the life of God. He's always opened the eyes of our understanding if we'll allow Him to. And given us those things we need to grasp it and receive it. He's saying, so now you, okay? You go. You know, we know verse 10 there, we're His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus and born anew for good works. We know that part. We need to dwell on that part. We need to keep meditating on it. But we've got to remember that we are now the one wearing the robe, the garment. And as I really do believe, as we go about that as believers, as we see ourselves wearing the garment, you know, God has fully furnished us, okay? And He has everything that those people that He's placed in our area of influence are needing to either, you know, maybe it's to come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. You know, and then, you know, maybe they got emotional issues, whatever they got. It doesn't matter because He's opened eyes to understand. He's taken us through this walk and we're being willing and obedient to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything we need to fulfill that destiny is being added unto us. That's us. So with that said, I mean, it's time to get excited and realize who we are, that you know what? It's really hard to say, I have the answer for it. No, I don't have the answer. God has the answer. But I'm the jukebox He's going to play it through, okay? Because every one of us is a unique jukebox. I really like 60s music. Kathy's always scolding me. But I'm, you know, this is back in the day before, you know, it's the 50s and 60s stuff. How many of y'all really like that? I mean, I grew up on that stuff. You know, Ricky Nelson, all them deals. You know, I love that stuff, you know. I'm not talking about the drug scene in the late 60s and early 70s music. I still do feel like Three Dog Night and Guess Who and, you know, all those. But we're unique jukeboxes, y'all. We're unique in who we are. And there's no one else like us. Praise God for that a lot of times. But also, because of that, man, the things we get to do in our area of influence. Man, listen, this morning, I think y'all are so much fun. You know, y'all are, you got to realize, I'm telling you what, this is an anointing. You just need to know how anointed you are. This is an anointed group of people. And we're privileged to get to do what we do. And when we look at it that way and stuff, it's like, man, you know what? You start having fun again doing the things that you enjoy doing. And you realize it's not a job. Man, it's a gift. And when we look at it that way, we're just setting people free, going about doing what God's got for us to do, and it's fun. If you're here today and you're like, man, I'm going to tell you what, and you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, that's the first step. You can't live this life that God created for you before he formed you in your mother's womb, before the foundations of the mother's womb, before the foundations of the world. But he's got that, that's his desire, that each one of us come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That no man perish, but all come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And there's only one way to God, one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus. I don't believe in atheists. There ain't nobody that don't believe in God. Everybody believes and knows there's a God. Some of them hate him, some of them love him. But they all believe in him. They may not like the way he does things. He's still there. And we're praying that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But if that's you today, you just haven't never made Jesus Lord of your life. That's the first step in fulfilling your destiny and walking out the vocation and things that God's planned for you before the foundations of the world. And so we're going to give you an opportunity. We won't embarrass you, but we're all going to pray a prayer. And we'd like for you to pray that prayer together with us. All the believers in here are going to pray it. And we're just going to ask Jesus to be the Lord of our life. So if that's you today, with every head bowed and every eye closed, let's pray this prayer. Say after me, Father God, thank you today for sending Jesus to put me back through his blood, through his life, through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection in right standing with you. So I ask you, Lord Jesus, to come into my heart and to be the Lord of my life. I believe that you're the Son of God and that you rose again on the third day for me. So I thank you for forgiving me of all my sins and cleansing me from all unrighteousness. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for writing my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If today was the day that you made Jesus the Lord of your life, never prayed, you know, not that specific prayer, but you've never asked Christ to be the Lord of your life, and you did it today, I'm going to count to three and ask you to raise your hand. We're just going to get you a Bible so you can fill that out. And if you did do that today, and if you've done it recently in here, you need to get water baptized. So ready? One, two, three. Anybody today? Anybody? Okay, y'all look up. Amen. Y'all look up. Thank y'all so much. That was a fun day. And it's a real treat to get to just encourage people and see them fulfill the destiny that God's created for us to fulfill. I've never heard of that unique jukeboxes before, but I like that, Roger. I think that's.